If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. There would be two, please. Just on the divisional guidance that you already touched on now with the 10% margin in robotics, or at least 10% margin in robotics, could you help us to quantify the impact of the efficiency program that you discussed about and how much of that is still to come or if the majority is already through? And also, you touched on the yen development. Is it fair to say that you see your competitors being less price aggressive now, or is this increased confidence on the guidance simply a reflection of the Agulus and the cost efficiency program? And then as a second question, you said pricing is still holding up nicely. Now, we have seen all these major announcements by basically every car OEM to cut its cost base, and typically suppliers do contribute quite a decent chunk to that. Now, you're obviously not a component supplier, but you do stand for a major part of their CapEx investments. Have you discussed anything related to price decreases or content decreases with any of your customers in recent weeks? Thank you.
Yeah, then let me start. The question regarding yen and the robotics margin and the efficiency program. You know, there are several effects on the robotics side. If we look into the yen, we save some money compared to last year. If we look into the procurement prices for some parts of the robot mechanics, then we have for sure a top line effect, a negative one, because of the pricing pressure. But I think we managed quite well to outperform these effects in Q2 and in Q1 somehow too, with efficiency measures and selling higher products with higher margins, like new products like the KRC4 or Quantic, or we more or less the biggest effect is Agulus. We sell 90% of Agulus to the general industry. And then last but not least, our efficiency measures, they help too. We had in the P&L for the first half of the year something between 15 and 20 million savings from the efficiency program. And for the full year, we expect something like 25 or between 25 and 30 million. That is then cost savings. This is savings from procurement, designed to cost measures at robotics, project risk avoidance measures, process improvements. That's a variety of measures we constantly do.
On the second topic, on the so-called Sparprogramm, cost-cutting measures by automotive companies, I think there's something which we are following up. And as mentioned, automotive, on a global scale, we see positive and really with a slight growth. The growth is coming currently more from the U.S. and from the Chinese market. We are in both countries, in China and in the U.S., we have a good footprint. We have 30% of our revenue approximately in the U.S. with big system, and we have also, as mentioned, 16% of our quarterly sales in China, and we both want to really more increase the business in China. So we are at the place where customers are investing CapEx, where they are to serve the demand in these countries. And as you mentioned, really we see some discussion, and we have a discussion also actively how to be more efficient in Germany. We have seen this announcement of programs by our customers, and we are working with our customers on how can we, as a partner or with partner, be more efficient. We are standing for automation. We are standing for robotic-based automation. And if someone wants to be more efficient, I think it's clearly a business where we want to add, and we want to team up and work together. So, yes, we see the programs. We don't see any, bigger, you know, we have always discussions about price and content. We don't see a big change over the last quarter, but clearly efficiency, we are working, has lots of discussion of efficiency, but which is the driver for KUKA, because if you want to change your existing plant, you need automation expertise, which we are having. So, yes, we see it, but we are on the one hand benefiting from the CapEx abroad, and we are in the discussion of flexible manufacturing in Germany.
Great. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Lucy Carrier of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Three questions from my side. The first one, obviously your R&D expenses as well as kind of sales for, or investment in sales force have increased in 2014. I was wondering if you already could give us a sense on how you see these expenses going into 2015. So that was the first question. And then the two other questions are a bit more broad-based, I would say. I think during the press conference, you said this morning that you were looking at robotics acquisition and also looking at diversification opportunities. So I wanted to know what you exactly meant by that and also, you know, which budget you are currently planning for M&A. And then finally, going back to, you know, to the CapEx level in the auto industry, what is, you know, you say it's still at a very high level. What is your time frame? What is the time frame you see that robust demand, you know, being maintained? And are we also seeing some sort of shifts in terms of either geography or in terms of your clients in auto? And could it have some implication on the margin level, for instance?
Thank you, Lucy. You know, let me start, and Peter can also jump in and answer the questions. our R&D sales effort are part of our strategic direction to increase our share in China industry. Clearly, we want to be number one in automotive. We are defending our number one position in automotive, but with Arculus and with new divisions, divisions in the robotic focusing on 3C, on where we are strong in arc welding and metal and consumer, we clearly have to add applications for this division, but also salespeople, and that's an effort which we where we are pushing more and more, that we're really getting the GI stake bigger. Today we are 50-50, automotive 50%, GI 50%, and clearly this is something to increase the share in GI. It will be ongoing, but I think on the sales side we will more increase people abroad, so we are strong in Europe. If you think about adding people on sales, we are more talking about Asia and China. And here we are at a high level where I think we are continue to be on at this high level. On the second question, just Peter, so tell me on sales we have.
Yeah, plus 70. In sales we added 70 people to the sales force, and it's exactly what Till mentioned, all in general industry, and in R&D it was more than 80 compared to last year. We are now having more than 400 people in R&D, and we expect to have the double amount what we have so far in first half year, the 35 million, something like 70, 75 million will be the R&D. Forecast for full year.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is in line with our expectations.
Yeah.
On the acquisition side, yes, in the call in the morning, I was asked about acquisitions, and I was giving the same answer as I gave last time, is that clearly it's part of the board's duty to check and to look at acquisitions and to see how we can have KUKA growing further as a robotic-based automation company. And I told them, as I also tell you, is that we are having certain areas where we're looking at acquisitions. One would be robotic companies. As always, we would see, you know, it's the two ones, AB and us. It's the two Japanese ones. And if there's any smaller one would be ready to be acquired, we would look at them. But that's, you know, it's the four big have a share of 65 to 70% of the whole market, and there's only limited potential in the robotic area. But we're also looking at areas to diversify geographically. So if there would be someone who is fitting to us in China, we would have a closer look. And clearly, if someone would help us in diversifying our product range and our diversification GI, we also look in. There's nothing which is today at the stage to be disclosed. It's normal discussion and normal board duty to look at various opportunities which we have every quarter. To auto CapEx, I think it's very important here to see that globally the CapEx is robust and stable. We see demand still very high in China, and as we see clearly in China, you have two big groups of investors, of capex spenders. One are the international car manufacturers, which are already called very advanced, which are already have lots of plans. The second group are the local OEMs, which are having still a lower number of automation, therefore also a lower number of robots, but they are going to increase the number and they are going to be more efficient. As with China, with 1.3 billion people, I think this is something where we see growth in demand coming from China, not only from the known international customers which we have, but also from Chinese customers. So there is a not a shift there, but there are new customers which add up to our customer base. We see in the U.S., we have seen that the U.S. customers had invested in the past strongly internationally. We see lots of plans and projects in the U.S. from this U.S. customers. So something also geography-wise where we see a business from the U.S. coming and also being shown in our backlog. Margin-wise, all our projects support our 5.5 for the full year, respectively 6% plus for the old systems operationally.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Stefan Bohm of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. A couple of questions, please. The first one would be on RISE. You already indicated a good progress in the integration, and I assume that by today you gained a better understanding of the risks, i.e. project risks and integration risks, but also on the return potential. So could you give us maybe an update on your most recent assumptions here, probably on the revenue and EBIT expectations in 14 and 15, if possible? The second one would be on robotics. Could you just give us or share with us the sales mix in robotics, i.e. General industry, auto, and services in Q2? And the last one would be, again, on your R&D and also in the context of the strong margins that you have seen in the second quarter in robotics. I mean, you have increased or stepped up your R&D expenditures by 7 million and you have been able to keep a strong EBIT margin at the same time. So I was wondering, is this probably the effect of the cost savings that you mentioned? So are the cost savings stronger related to robotics than to systems? That's one question. And the second question is R&D. Maybe you could comment again on where you invest this higher R&D and what would be the growth potential that you expect over the next years from this higher investments. Thank you.
Let me start with the RISE question, maybe on the outlook of R&D, and then clearly we have some numbers on R&D and also on the other ones. On RISE, we have acquired RISE to 51% and have the option for the remaining 49 in December. We had the antitrust release or the potential to execute the acquisition in end of January. So we have a team consisting of RISE people and KUKA people on the ground in Obernburg. Obernburg, we have approximately 750 people today. We're starting with 950, so we had also a tough program in getting more efficient. We have now we have EBIT break even in the third quarter, and this is sustainable. So we also see that the cooperation between RISE and KUKA is helping the KUKA group to get again more business and to get stable business from the customer, because RISE now also has a stable future in our group. EBIT break even in the third quarter. So we expecting, as mentioned, we had 5 to 10 million negative impact from RISE. Depending on the performance in the second half, it will be most likely more closer to -5 than -10. Currently, we are at -10. If we are EBIT break even, this should be the number more going towards the 5. For longer term, we're expecting at least an EBIT margin for 5%, and we will see if we already have this for 2015. But the goal is clearly to reach the 5. And, as we manage expectations, clearly rice will have a big future, and but our plans indicate that we will reach the 5% in the next years. On R&D, yes, we in total, as Peter mentioned on Lucy's question, we are for the full year close to 70 million, 7-0 in R&D. It's clear, it fits to our strategic direction. We are number one in automotive. We have launched the most innovative lightweight robot which allows the man-machine cooperation, where you can really work without a fence. And we have to invest into GI in the future, into more divisions, and therefore I think it will pay off. As you can see, as an Arculus example, that Arculus is contributing very good to the margin. So that's part of our strategic direction. And I think it is it's more like the future, and we are investing today to have the right products for the next years, including, as mentioned, the Sunrise platform, including applications, including the EVA, and also including mobile robotics.
Then regarding your questions regarding the split in robotics sales, quarter two, auto was 44%, GI had a share of 37%, and service a share of 19%. But if you look into the order intake, then in general industry, we had something like 42%. We see that order intake in general industry is quite okay. Regarding R&D, we capitalized less because we were working on some software features which we, regarding to the IFRS definition, to be able to capitalize a product, we could not they could not reach the criteria, and therefore we had more expenses directly in the P&L. Then what else? The question regarding operation excellence. Where is more in robotics or systems? It's a 50-50 savings split we have, which helps us to increase the margin. And if we work on R&D, then I fully agree we will grow, and our margin should improve on mid-term, long-term, if we are at the forefront of innovation and bringing the new products into the market.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a quick follow-up on the R&D spend. I think we already gained quite a good understanding of the sales potential from the Agilus robots, but any color you could give us on the sales potential and the lightweight robot, which is a completely new product, as you said, would be also very helpful.
You know, up to date, we sold approximately 50 lightweight robots in the first half, and expecting something in the, 200 for the full year. And the lightweight opportunity is clearly something which comes with the engineering. So if you see the potential of the lightweight robots are not sold as naked robots, but mostly in a solution, and the solution standard-wise costs €300,000 plus minus. So you see the robot is only one part of the solution or of the cell. And with a lightweight robot, you can reduce the cost of the total cell dramatically. And this is something which, with a new product, with a new engineering concept, this is shown to our customers and partners, and there was very good feedback out of Matica, more than 500 leads only for a lightweight robot. So we're expecting that the lightweight long-term will be something in the range of 1,000 robots. It's not a Quantec like 10,000, but it's really innovative product. And the concept of Quantec, Elbert EVA, will be also seen in a couple of other robots. So there is a modular effect that we can have the technology and the ideas of the EVA also in other products.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Stefan Augustin of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. first question would be regarding the gross margin in the robotics. You outlined that the automotive and the service business contributed nicely to the growth. Typically, automotive is somewhat lower than GI in the robotics margin. Can you help me to give a bit of a feeling what is behind this strong increase of the robotics margin? Is it that the new Agilus contribution in Q2 is so much more better on the gross margin? Is it the efficiency measures probably only in Q2 or strongly in Q2? Something like that. The other one would be the good margin development of the underlying systems business. Also here, what is what would you sum up in is driving this more the pricing of the projects, and is that pricing, let's say, rather mix related, or could it be mix related, or the efficiency measures and the processes? And do you have the feeling that you gained market share in the underlying systems business, in the body in white business? And the final one would rather be then on the project pipeline in systems. When you look at that, your project pipeline here, I mean, obviously you know what kind of projects are in the market. You have your assumption which ones you get and which ones not. Let's phrase it this way. If you look at this project pipeline, would you say if everything goes right, you could keep the order intake stable at systems in the second half? Or is it simply that the pipeline would not be sufficient at this point in time to reach something like this? Thank you.
Then I will start with the first question you asked for the gross margin development in robotics. Yeah, I think you named the effects somehow. It's a mixture of several effects. For sure that we have more, that the product mix helped us, that we had new products with higher margins like the KRC4 and Agilus Quantec. We had a higher percentage than in the quarter two last year. Agilus especially is sold to general industry, more than 90% we sell to general industry, so that will help. Processes will help, that we had improvements there. We had a little effect from yen in the gross margin, a positive one from procurement. Procurement effects in general were something like 5 million in robotics, which you will see in the COGS. And last but not least, the service, the revenue from service increased and helped to increase the margin. That are the various effects which helped us to increase margin in robotics.
On the systems, okay. You were asking about the underlying systems business and the project. How do we see the underlying projects? Clearly, we have a stable order backlog, and also giving you the visibility for the full year, we know that about the pricing quality in our project at KUKA and also already clearly at RISE. We see that this pricing quality is, we have a very good quality in the US, because in US we gained market share, and as mentioned last year, the Utica acquisition was clearly the acquisition to be number one in the US, and as number one, and as also mentioned, we see a bigger demand in demand from customers in the US, so we see good quality in the US. And we stable quality in Europe. And looking to the pipeline in the future, as guided, the book-to-bill will be above one. We have an order intake of close to 1.2 billion for the first half. But I think it's important that we choose the project. So and therefore, I think it's we see that the second half we see less project than in the first half. And I think we have still, it's possible to choose the right projects. You don't have to fight. We are fighting on the margin, but I think we don't have to go for all projects. So this also allows us to have a good margin quality for next year.
Okay. Just a small follow-up here. This is because on the gross margin in robotics, let's say in Q2 versus Q1, You also have a significant increase of, let's say, 400 basis points here. What is the driver on a quarter-to-quarter basis?
From Q1 to Q2, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that are the same effects.
The same. Okay.
You mentioned, yeah, and it's not linear. Sometimes a procurement effect is a big part you see only in quarter two, and not in quarter one. Yeah. But the effects are the same.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Jasko Terkic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. Three questions left from my side. The first regarding the EBIT and the RISE contribution. As far as I remember it correctly, it was all in minus 3 million. Is that right? And secondly, you mentioned that the break-even of RISE should be achieved in Q3. Second question, could you give us a feeling of how many units of the Argolis you have sold in the first half of the year and compare it to the last year? Could you give us an indication of the margin of the Argolis and the market share you currently have there? And finally, regarding M&A, I'm not sure if I missed it, but could you give us the potential volume you have as a target volume for M&A?
Okay, let me try to answer the question. Right, the RISE contribution in the second quarter was minus 3 million. In the first quarter was minus 7 million. In total, we are today at minus 10. For the full year, we are between minus 5 and minus 10 because break-even at RISE is going to happen in the third quarter, and therefore we have potentially also a positive EBIT contribution from the second half, lowering the EBIT burden from the first half of RISE. Argolis is a very, very successful product. And it's not Argolis, it must be Argolis, it's the Argolis family, so we have a different version of Argolis. You have Argolis for the clean room, you have for food industry, so you have certain requirements, and therefore it's difficult to talk if you're a number on margin or market, because it really depends very much on the end market. And I think what we achieved here is we launched the Argolis as the base product in 2012, but really I think something like clean room or how you work together with the machine tool industry, how you put Argolis in other industries like pharma, we see different price quality, different margin, which are really beneficial for us, but it's very important to have this certain types all based on the same modules and all the same bulk cost. For Argolis, we have 90% of Argolis are going in GI. And we have an order intake for the second quarter of 600. And for the full year, we are above 1,000 Argolis. And for last year, we had 1,200. And we are going clearly to 1,700 for full year. On the M&A potential, you know, there's no clear target on the number side. So it's not whatever the size which I... which we have in mind. We have to look at the business. Is it contributing? Is it helping KUKA geographically or by way of business? We have firepower today of at least 150 million. Today's war chest. But I think it would be not right to look at the size. It's more important that we want to grow in China. Diversifying geographically, and we also want to diversify by ways of industries, that we, in addition to having our number one position out of automotive, having more markets where KUKA can sell robotic-based automation.
We will now take our next question from Lucy Carrier of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello again. Thanks for letting me do a follow-up. Two questions from my side. First, exactly on the number for the Argolis and the Iowa, I just wanted to make sure I had it clear. Did you say you expect to sell 500 LBR Iowa for this year and that you have taken orders of 600 Argolis in the second quarter alone? That was my first question.
And then secondly, on kind of your cost efficiency initiatives that you have been carrying since the beginning of the year, is that something that you had put in place maybe in reaction, obviously, of higher R&D pricing pressure from your Japanese competitors, or is that something that you are seeing having a recurring saving potential into 2015? And if so, in which magnitude? Thank you.
Yeah, then I would start with operational excellence. No, that's nothing new. We had it at KUKA in 2009. It was started, and it's a continuous effort, an everyday effort for the people. But when we saw end of 2012 the yen development going to this strong weakening, we really put much more emphasis again on that one. But it's nothing we started now. It will not end if the yen is getting stronger. It's an everyday task. To keep the competitiveness high is really very important for us in our business. And we still have new ideas in the pipeline regarding IT and processes. So that's an everyday task for everybody.
On the number, Lucy, I think on Agilus it was right. It was the 600, more than 600 in the second quarter on Agilus. For the half year, more than 1,000 in Agilus. For full year Agilus, 1,700 at least, for 14. And for EVA, year-to-date, 50. Plan for the full year, something between 100 and 200. And long-term, around south, but longer-term.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks again.
There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much for your attention. If you have further questions, please call KUKA and the IR team. And have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.